The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Richard. I'm your host. It is Monday, July 31st. No, it's August 1st. Dang it. August 1st. If you are listening to the podcast, because that's when the podcast is released, the following day after we record it live on YouTube. So if you're watching on YouTube, it is Friday, July 29th. Happy Fishes in Raleigh Day.
Oh, in Raleigh, because you mentioned Hartford as a possible destination. Has that already happened?
They played Hartford already, yeah. They played Hartford, then they played Jones Beach twice, and then now they're
Dang it, Raleigh. I missed it again. Maybe next year will be the year that I make
it. And then they'll play Meriwether Post Pavilion up in Maryland on Saturday and Sunday.
Let me ask you something. Why do you need to see this band more than once a year? Not you in particular, but fish folks in general. Like, what's the allure? What are you not getting the first time around?
Well, so that's the good mailbag question. Great mailbag question from Ryan, from
P. Angry old man.
P. Ryan Wilson.
Underscore at, 07.
Like Syracuse. He gave a 3-star review. He still got
three. Come on now.
1-star review. Still got on the mailbag. And by the way, if you're watching on YouTube live with us, feel free to, if you got a mailbag question, feel free to drop something in the chat. We'll happily answer it, of course. So the allure of fish is that they don't play the same set list. Like if it were a band like.
So have you ever gone to a concert and been angry?
A fish show?
Like upset with the songs that were chosen?
No, but like, all right. So like, you know, the Black Keys.
Yeah, of course. I actually don't mind the Black Keys.
Yeah, the Black Keys are good. But like, I went and saw them and it was good, but it was like they play the same songs every single night.
This goes to the hipster conversation me, you, and Nada were having prior to the show.
Why didn't like, we get live during that?
I guess. You don't want to go to a show where you actually know the songs can be played. You want to go to some obscure show where you can say you heard some song that's been buried in some album that was released 15 years ago is what I'm hearing. Is that right?
No. They don't like, so like for instance, whatever they played, so Wednesday was their last concert. Wednesday, they have a day off, drive down on Thursday, spend Thursday night, get up and play Friday. The songs that they played on Wednesday, none of those songs we played on Friday. In fact, Fish did famously did, man, we're really kickstarting people's okay. Mondays with this raucous Fish discussion. But Fish famously played a 13-night run at Madison Square Garden called the Baker's Dozen. And they didn't,
clever.
Each night had a different donut theme and all the songs were related to, so for instance, we went to, Chocolate Donut Night and they played, what's the song? Is it Chocolate Rain?
Purple Rain.
No, they didn't play Purple Rain. They played Chocolate Rain. Yeah.
Yeah, you sound like a real fan here.
No. I was trying to make sure I had the song right. It's not a fish song. It's the first time they ever played it. It's a Tay Zonday song. If you check it out, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'll get right on.
Anyway, they played 13 straight shows and never repeated a song in 13 straight nights, which is pretty crazy.
All right, but again, you could be going on the night where they don't play any of the songs that you like. But I guess if you're a fish fan, you like every song.
But like generally, yeah, I mean, that is true. You could.
Are there fish songs that you don't like?
That is correct, Simon Sim. Tay Zonday's Absurd Chocolate Rain. Yeah, there are a couple songs I don't like, for sure.
Couple. All right, here's my real question. Would you rather?
Let's
get this thing started.
By the way, still talking about snakes around these parts.
Good. I don't think this one's going to have quite the traction because it's pretty graphic and it just I'm looking quickly, so I didn't pick a great one, but this feels like one that will be a topic of discussion, even if it might make you wince. As a man, would you rather crap a softball or pee a marble?
That seems wildly inappropriate.
It does say warning on the front of the book, so that's one of the warnings, I'm sure.
You're really digging deep in there.
That's actually just middle of the book too, so I don't know if it gets better or worse as you go forward or backwards.
I don't.
I've heard that passing a kidney stone is
the most right
a fate worse than death. I don't know how you pass the equivalent.
A marble's like a full kidney stone. Oh boy.
Yeah, that's a kidney stone that you don't recover from.
A softball is pretty large.
I think you just go for the death. You just say,
I don't want to do it. I'm going to go softball.
I don't even know like what the right, there's nothing to think about here. It just does not.
I'm going softball just because I value one side of, I mean, I value one section of the body more than the other. So I'm going all softball. Right.
You value your peeper. All right. I'll have a better, less gross one at the end. That one wasn't great.
I feel bad for the people who, and the majority of the people like who like listen to this podcast, you know, like more people listen than watch. It's okay. Well, Monday morning. I wonder what the
fish and softballs.
Yes, that's right. We just talked about fish and crapping softballs for 5 minutes.
All right, let's get to the real questions and then we'll see how the would you rather goes at the end.
Okay.
Before we go quickly, what are your thoughts on the Cardinals?
Somebody wants to know what's Ryan Wilson's Venmo handle.
Oh, Jesus.
At Ryan-Wilson-37831. I've now memorized it.
That's hilarious. Pathetic. The emails continue to pour in.
Keep requesting money from Ryan Wilson. Maybe he'll accidentally send you something.
Yeah, it gets funnier and funnier each time I get an email. What do you think of the Cardinals rescinding the clause where Kyler Murray has to do homework?
Yeah, that's good. We got to get into that. Here's my first question.
What did you think was going to happen?
I didn't think they'd rescind it.
That's my question in general. When the contract comes out, Kyler has a press conference and they rescind it. My question to the Cardinals.
Now it's very obvious that it was Kyler's camp that leaked out the clause.
Why is that obvious? Why would the Cardinals rescind it then?
Because it was embarrassing, like for everybody.
That's more embarrassing for the Kyler Murray than it is Cardinals.
But now that they rescinded it, it's even more embarrassing for the Cardinals.
Again, my general question, not to you, but to the Cardinals and Kyler Murray, is like, what did you think was going to happen when this became public? That's my, like,
yeah, you, I mean, yeah, I mean, this is, yeah, exactly. It's like,
how did you not game this out?
Like, did you, yeah, I mean, how could you not figure out that, you know, this is what was going to happen? Right. I agree with that.
So anyway, that's no longer a thing. I suppose we're supposed to forget it, but I don't know why Kyler gave that press conference where he seemed angry at the media, since the media wasn't the one that wrote up his contract, but.
Yeah, and it was hilarious, too, that then the Cardinals team account was tweeting out, like, they're like, yeah, Kyler says, I don't, he's like, it was like, they tweeted like a Kyler quote and then like this yelling emoji and then like, you know, and tagged Kyler Murray. It's like, you guys know that you're the same team that put the clause in, right? Like you guys are like propping up Kyler on Twitter, but it's like you guys.
I think that's called gaslighting.
So yeah, I mean, I think that. I mean, it's still embarrassing for Kyler that they had to put it in, but getting it out is huge from a perspective of they can now default. He can't default on the contract by
not doing his homework,
swiping Tinder while he's doing film study at home.
And perhaps more importantly is that now no one has to answer questions about it since training camp has literally just opened, and this was the biggest talking point.
Yeah, it's pretty ugly. I even thought though, and I tweeted this out. I mean, but like, I thought relative to that clause, and I, you know, I told Adam Gold and I talked about it too. You know, at a point I made the same point that you did. It's like we've been doing this for 12 years. Like, I mean, really, like 15 if you count Fan House. I mean, like we've been covering, you know, football for like a decade and a half, and never have we seen anything remotely close to this. I mean, it's wild. I can't believe that Kyler's camp agreed to put it in. I can't believe that the Cardinals tried to force it in. The whole thing.
Our buddy Michael David Smith, who we used to work with the Fan House, and now is the, I think he's the editor at Pro Football Talk. I think he's the managing editor.
He's the editor.
He actually tweeted this out, and it's a good point. He said, you know, you would like to think that you read every word of a contract that pays you $260 million, whatever the contract's worth is for Kyler Murray, but maybe the agent didn't read that part of the contract. Maybe it was just boilerplate up until the first few pages, and then the agent and Kyler said, let's sign this thing, and they did, and then this was later found to be a part of the contract, which seems perhaps like the most reasonable explanation for how we got to this point. But much like the Cowboys trying to sneak one past Randy Gregory with his contract stipulation, he said, peace out. This is just, I don't know why the Cardinals put it in there. Like, why did the Cowboys do that? It cost them. Was it worth it? What was the, like, why wouldn't you just say to Kyler Murray, if you want this money, we're going to see an uptick in your study habits, or we'll just structure the contract as such where, you know, after year one, you make a lot less.
I mean, I do think it is probably a thing where Kyler wanted, like, they were like, we can't give you all of this cash unless we get this built into the contract. And this is
the first time in human history, though.
I don't know, man. I mean, the whole thing is very bizarre. I don't know. Like, I would not, like, if CBS gave you that deal where it's like, and if you don't, people are asking what clauses has CBS put in my contract. Mine's like old, so not a ton.
Yours isn't that old. You mean it's just been boilerplate since the initial one?
Yeah, it's basically just an addendum.
They've actually reduced your salary since your first contract, which is sort of weird, but that's another different.
Entirely possible. Caleb Campos says Brinson and Wilson have never read their contract. Great point.
You know what's funny? I know I've read it. I know Breach actually does a better job than both of us. And when COVID hit, we had Breach check our contracts to make sure that we couldn't be let go because everyone was losing their jobs at that point.
The God clause or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah, that's right. You had to have some act of God to in order to get out of your contract. So that's the only reason. And Breach, oddly enough, as goofy as he is, he actually is really good about the crossing.
My dad's a lawyer, so I usually have pretty good.
Yeah, but you don't consult him. Breaches are...
What are you talking about? Yes, I do.
About criminal issues, not about work-related issues. Fair enough.
yeah, both. We've read our contracts. Force majeure. Yeah, that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
God calls.
What's the frozen caveman lawyer? Is that what it used to be at the Saturday Night Live skit?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's you, frozen caveman lawyer.
Wait, you're going to Breach for legal advice? Like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You're like, Breach checked all our contracts, so we're fine. Breach should look at my contract.
Don't sleep on Breach. That's how Breach has gotten so far in life. Everyone slept on him, and then he...
Asking Breach for contract advice is not...
Not asking him for contract advice, but when we're on the podcast, I'll say, did you read this? And invariably, he'll say yes, and then he'll say, this is what it means. I'll say, okay, great. I don't need to hire a lawyer to find out whether the God clause is in our contract or not.
So defensive.
Jesus. All right, what's the first one here? I've had enough of you already.
I know, right? God almighty.
Go ahead, read it.
NFL first World one. Cup from Dingo Stevens from Australia. I love her. We have somebody
a lot of Australia. I mean,
hey guys,
what must the podcast seem to be like in Australia that a lot of Australians are forced to listen to the Pick Six podcast?
I don't know. Hey guys, massive fan from Tasmania, Australia.
Woot woot.
Maybe because I did so much Aussie radio back in the day.
Did you ever do any?
Oh, yeah, done a ton of Aussie radio.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, dead serious.
NFL Aussie radio?
Yeah, I used to do Aussie radio for the Super Bowl every year. And
I didn't know.
It's been a while. Because the problem is, like, the timing is just not great. It's like 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Is NFL a thing in Australia? Like, is it as big as it is in London?
You were literally reading mailbag. You just said our podcast is big in Australia.
It's all relative.
You're not listening to it for the fish takes.
God, let's hope not. Anyway, so you used to be in Australia.
Yeah. What was his name? The guy who was the 49ers rugby guy.
Yeah, I think he's since retired too.
Jared Haney. Or Jared Hain? Either way. Hey, guys. Okay, back to the... Hey, guys. Massive fan from Tasmania, Australia. I've got a three-part question.
All right, let's go.
You guys always talk about the Super Bowl winner as the world champs, but what if there was an actual NFL World Cup? Who would be in your starting team USA? Who do you think would be in the top five nations and why? And how much do you think USA would beat Australia by in a game? Cheers, fellas.
Well, I have no real idea of what the other nations' football leagues look like. They're all amateur leagues, I'm pretty sure. Like, I know a lot of the European, like Germany has a league. Italy may have a league. England, I'm sure, has a league. I think our buddy Johnny, who has a question in the mailbag, mentioned that there's a he may have played for a little bit, I think, in an amateur league.
Yeah.
But there's a huge really difference. Even like
Zoom call with Johnny.
Right, exactly. I would imagine that the best Division III program in the U.S. would win regularly the country championships in other countries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Well, I mean, it's American football. Like, that's why the USA sucks at soccer.
USA doesn't suck at soccer, but that's been a...
I don't mean that we suck at... I just
My point is, it's been a 100-year chance to catch up, and then the last 20 years.
But, like, when's our last World Cup victory?
Well, we didn't go last time.
I meant, when's the last time we won the World Cup?
Well, we've never won the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's a 1-in-4-year event, and there are 24 teams. I think it's
we're talking about an NFL World Cup. I don't think it's happening every year.
But anyway, so here's where I would start, because it's sort of akin to the Olympics. And I'll use the USA basketball. So Chuck Daly was a coach of the Dream Team. I think Coach K was actually an assistant on that team. I think Coach K has since been a coach for USA basketball for the Olympic team. So the first order of business is who's going to be the coach. Bill Belichick feels like the layup, but would you want to go with someone younger, someone who seems more open-minded to young players?
Belichick head coach, Andy Reid, offensive coordinator.
You wouldn't want a Sean Payton. You wouldn't want Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan.
You come out swinging with Belichick as the head coach. Because it'd be a little bit like Coach K, where all these players want to play for Belichick.
At 69, is he up to the task?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, Andy Reid's the OC. Who's the DC? Bill Belichick. So you have two coaches.
Oh, you know what? That's actually what I might do, is make McVay the head coach.
There's no way Bill Belichick is working for Sean McVay.
Yeah. Probably
not. You get Brandon Staley be the DC if you want to go in that direction. Like, you want to do the old switcheroo.
I'm just saying, it's like, this is for the best thing America could roll out.
Yes, Belichick, Andy Reid, maybe even like Sean Payton's the OC if Andy Reid doesn't want to travel.
Andy Reid head coach, Belichick DC, Sean Payton OC.
That might be fun.
And I don't know that Belichick's probably not going to be willing to do that.
No, he feels like he leans into the details, and he might be completely fine with letting, especially people he respects. And it's hard to tell when he talks to the media, but sometimes you'll catch glimpses of him talking about special teams for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And you would imagine that he has a lot of respect
I think he would be willing to say, hey, look, I'm fine not being the head coach. I'm going to be the defensive coordinator, and we're
right. Let's assume that happens. So Andy Reid and Bill Belichick, I'm on board with. But and Sean Payton's taking the year off, but that aside, he's still one of the best play callers ever. So Sean Payton, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, you're taking.
Or maybe I go Kyle Shanahan, offensive coordinator.
I think the dynamic between Reid, Payton, and Belichick, they can all get along. They're within a 20-year age range. I wonder if Kyle Shanahan and his flat brim hats might rub the old timers the wrong way. And this is just me sort of.
I think the fact that Kyle is
and his dad is mine.
Yeah, I think they'd be fine.
All right. Either way. So I'll take Sean Payton. You're taking Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, it's just 6.5 dozen.
That's fine. It's a half a dozen one. Right. All right. So this is for this upcoming summer, not this summer, but 12 months from now. So who's your quarterback going to be? That's easy layup.
Patrick Mahomes.
I said layup, and I was thinking, well, do I want it to be Josh Allen or Justin Herbert?
I think if you've got Andy Reid as head coach, you go with Mahomes.
I think so, too.
Yeah, you know, Mahomes is the best.
And who's your backup?
I don't know if you can have Tom Brady if you've got Belichick on there.
Forget that, dude. You bring Josh Allen. Done. Moving on. Next question.
Okay. I mean, Aaron Rodgers would be fine, too.
I'm too old. I don't want any old-timers. I don't want any people tainting the young players with their old man perspectives.
Okay.
Just young guys.
I guess if you know that this team could be playing again in 4 years, you want the best young talent so they can be cohesive. Like, that's the whole thing about these World Cup teams is like, and the Olympic teams, you want them to play together. All right, running back, Jonathan Taylor, next.
Yeah, you get a backup if you want. I don't know if I'd even bring Derrick Henry. Slow down there. I might bring Nick. I was going to say Nick Chubb, but sure.
I think Christian McCaffrey, John.
He's hurt all the time.
It's a tournament.
It's not one game, but yeah.
I mean, all right. Obviously, all right. Cooper Kupp is your first choice for wide receiver.
All right. Let's go with three wide receivers. So is Cooper going to be one of the three?
Yes.
Who are the other two? Jeez, I can't believe I have to go through this.
Again, you want to go young. So I think you go Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp.
Woo! Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp's not that young. No Tyreek? You have Tyreek and Cooper Kupp, or you're taking Cooper Kupp?
I mean, I'm just doing it to spite you.
And to cost the U.S. a gold medal, but okay. So give me your three. You can, if you want Cooper in there, that's fine, but who are the three?
I said Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Cooper Kupp.
No Davante Adams. No Tyreek Hill. Okay, I'll take Davante Adams. We'll do two teams. Davante Adams, Tyreek Hill, and I'll take Justin Jefferson.
I mean, okay.
What do you mean? What's wrong with that?
I said okay.
You said it with an attitude. All right. What's the next position?
I'm trying to find the all-pro teams.
I'll send you the link so you can go through it.
I mean, Debo Samuel would be fun to throw in there too, but
no.
All right, tight end.
Okay, so again, youngest.
This is going to be like the only mailbag question we answer. We're not going to get to.
Well, this is a great question, so we might as well sort of start sad breaches in here. So, Kelsey's 30. Went through this in the last podcast. Kittle's 26.
Mark Andrews, George Kittle, done. Let's go.
Darren Waller's 27. All right, so
Andrews and Kittle give you the best bang for your buck, blocking wise and receiving wise. I think.
So you said Andrews and Kittle. I'll take Waller. And
are two teams going to play each other?
No, we're just hitting two teams then. And then Breach will be the deciding factor. I'll take Waller and Kittle. I'll join Kittle as well. So Waller and Kittle for me, but yeah, you can't go wrong with them. And the only reason Travis Kelce's in there is because he's 30. All right. Next position.
Are we going to do the entire off? We got to do a whole offensive line.
We'll go through it quickly.
All right. Trent Williams, left tackle, or Tristan Wirfs.
Tristan Wirfs plays right tackle.
What's that?
Doesn't Tristan Wirfs play right tackle?
Yes, he does. I don't know what I'm talking about. I was literally just reading off the all-pro list. Rashawn Slater and Trent Williams.
Is Trent Williams still the best? How old is he these days?
He's older. I don't care. I'm taking Trent Williams.
Okay. And then
Quentin Nelson.
Who's the other? Let's see. Quentin Nelson, Zach Martin. Yeah, these are harder because, honestly, we don't sit there and stare at offensive linemen.
Creed Humphrey.
Creed Humphrey, Corey Linsley is good.
We're just looking at the offer list, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Creed Humphrey, too. Like, you get the cohesion with Mahomes, I think, is very
important. All right, let's go edge rusher. We'll do three.
Okay, wait. We're just going to do the left side of the offensive line?
Who are you
going to have? I see what you're saying. We'll just do two. Yeah. That's fine.
Tristan Wirfs and whoever else you want to add. It's fine. We're not.
Tristan Wirfs, Lane Johnson.
Yeah. Done. Okay. Right. So three edge rushers. So I'll start while you get the list up. TJ Watt's going to be one. No one disagrees with that. So two other ones.
Yep. Well, you said TJ Watt and who else?
I said two other ones. So that's the only one that we agree on.
I mean, I think you take Myles Garrett.
I mean, you're not going to lose Myles Garrett. What about Micah Parsons? Would you put Micah Parsons on there? Or would you rather list him as an inside linebacker?
I'd list him as a linebacker and then sneak him on as an edge rusher.
Okay. So then
Nick Bosa for me. You could go Max Crosby. Like, I don't want to disrespect Max Crosby, but I think I'm going Garrett, Bosa, TJ Watt. Like, that's lethal.
Chase Young, Rashawn Gary. I'm just looking at some other names. Danielle Hunter.
No, look, those three are good.
Cam Jordan? See, Cam Jordan and Cam Hayward are 3-4 defensive ends. So maybe we'll revisit them as defensive ends. Okay, so yeah, I'm fine with you with what you said there. We'll circle back on Michael Parsons when we talk about the linebackers. I'm just going down the list here that PFF has for the positions. Interior defensive line, Aaron Donald's number one. Chris Jones, Cam Hayward, Kenny Clark, Vita Vea. Jeffrey Simmons. God, there are a lot of good guys here.
I know. I think Jeffrey Simmons. And so if we got to do, we'll do four defensive tackles. I think Chris Jones, Jeffrey Simmons, Aaron Donald, Cam Hayward.
Okay. My God, I can't really argue with that.
That's a nice blend of guys who, and you could go Vita Vea. I'd be fine with Vita Vea in there too. Like, we're just a blend of guys that can, you know, you can kind of rotate through. Like, guys,
I'm not going to disagree with your first list of four there. Okay. All right. Linebackers, Micah Parsons, we're going to put here, and we'll do two more. So we can have Shaquille Leonard, Fred Warner.
Wow, good call. I was like, who's Shaquille? What are you talking about? Yeah, Shaquille Leonard.
Fred Warner.
Roquan Smith or Fred Warner. Four linebackers. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. Cornerback.
Okay, corner. I was just going on the list. It said safety of a corner. They're doing
Ramsey, obviously.
So they're doing slot corner, the breakdown I'm looking at here. So we'll do four, and we'll do three corners in a slot or two and two. I don't care. So Jalen Ramsey.
I think you prefer people with versatility too, but Jalen Ramsey's a lock. I think.
Gosh,
AJ Terrell is going on there.
Nah, it's too soon. I'd rather have Xavier Howard. How was Howard's season last year?
Xavier Howard's fine. I mean, all pro.
Denzel just got paid his award. That is. AJ Terrell's good. Don't get me wrong. And that defense stinks, so he really stands out. Jair Alexander just got paid, and he should have. Oh, this is tough.
Yeah, Jair Alexander's a good one. All right, Jair Alexander. AJ Terrell and Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, okay. And then slot corner. Oh, these are guys that are specialists. So I'm going to add JC Jackson just because.
Okay. That's fine.
Mix up a little bit. All right. And then finally, safety.
You got Belichick coaching, which means you know you'll get the most out of JC Jackson.
Yeah. So safety, let's do three. So Minka for Pete Prisco.
No, Derwin James is first.
Well, it doesn't matter the order. I mean, but yeah.
Oh, fine. We'll throw Minka on there.
Well, Minka's free safety. Derwin's a strong safety. And then.
I think maybe you. Kevin Byard, just to throw it in Deion Sanders' face.
Yeah, I'm sure Deion Sanders still doesn't know who he is, so it doesn't matter. But okay.
Peter Baker would be fun too, just for the versatility.
And yeah, I can't believe you didn't go with your buddy Antoine Winfield Jr., your favorite player.
Yeah, I mean, I love him, but.
All right. No, that's a team that's going to win every game.
Yeah, they're going to win every game 56 to 4.
Every game, the over under, I'm going to set at 37, and I'm taking the over every game. I don't even know who the second best team is in the world.
I mean, the spread would be like minus 40.
I just said 37.
Yeah. I mean, you take the freaking.
It's like the spreads in the 92 Dream Team games.
Yeah, I mean, there just aren't enough good players from any other team, any other country, like Canada, maybe.
Yeah, now Canada's a good call because there are a lot of good players from Canada, like John Metchie, Neville Gallimore, Chase Claypool. That's a good one. Yeah, so that might be the best competition.
It would be an absolute bloodbath.
I don't know if Mexico plays a lot of football. I'm just thinking about North American teams.
It would be
it's totally disrespectful. We didn't do kickers and punters.
I'll breach it here. We'll skip it.
Justin Tucker, and then I don't know who the best punter is. Whoever
it's Cole, baby. It's his day. Woo!
There you go. Done and done. Okay. All right. What's the next? That's a great question. Good question. We'll send this to Breach. He can write it up and he'll tweet it out because we're not going to waste any more time talking to him about it since he went on a 2-month vacation.
That's right. Instead, we're going to take a break and we come back. More mailbag questions next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, more mailbag questions. I know in the chat, my buddy Matthew Wiley said Rashad Penny, top three running back. This is a statement, not a question. That would be something else.
Carson retired. They drafted Ken Walker the third, but
yeah, I mean, I think there's a decent chance that one of those. Now, the only problem with the Seattle running backs is that it's possible those teams are trailing very frequently. But I do think
that has not never stopped Pete Carroll in the past.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is like the Seahawks. My belief is that the Seahawks are going to muddle games as much as possible. Just turn them into ugly, like unders early on in the season for the Seahawks games are going to be cash. Like if it's anything above like 35,
first half unders are going to be layups.
Yeah. I mean, they're just going to pound the football, eat up as much clock as possible, play a bunch of defense and try and keep like, just figure out ways to steal games. I think that like, that's going to be their formula. We saw it in 2011. And
well, I think in 2011,
2011, that's basically what they did.
That's where Russ got there. Is that your point?
Russ got there in 2012. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Like the non-Russell Wilson Seahawks under Pete Carroll, as the Legion of Boom was getting built up, they like...
That was with DeForest Jackson. Rest in peace.
Yeah, that's right. So in 2011, they went 7-9. They allowed 19.7 points per game, which was seventh in the NFL, and they scored 20.1 points per game, which is 20.
And then in 2012, before they drafted Russ, do you remember who they signed to that relatively big contract? The quarterback?
Yeah, of course, Matt Flynn.
Matt Flynn. I can remember his name, so I'm glad you did.
Like the third week of the season, they played the Cardinals, and they won 13-10.
All right. Related to that is a question from Pism311 at Twitter. Gino or Drew? That's the question.
I think it's going to be Gino for the exact same reason that I just laid out. Like Drew Lock is not the guy you want to trust to manage the game. Drew Lock is the guy you want to play YOLO ball with.
And it's funny that I don't even disagree with that, but it's funny that the comparison is with Geno Smith, and Geno Smith is the safer option.
Yeah. I think Pete, like Geno Smith is like, how old is Geno? Let's see. I want to say that
he's drafted in the 2013 class.
I'm trying to see. All right. So in 2000 and, DeForest Jackson was 28 in 2011. That's wild. I would have guessed there's no way Geno is 28, right? He could be.
He's drafted in 2013, I think. So that would make him 30-ish, 29, 31.
30? He will turn 32 in October. Wow.
There you go. So he's been around forever, but still young.
Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, it's just like, I think it's going to be Geno. I think they trust Geno enough to like not make massive, to just be cautious, to check down when they need to be a very, very boring quarterback and to steal some wins. Like they did
steal some wins. All right. I don't know what the over-under is for Caesars, but I'm putting it at 6.5.
That's probably right.
Well, what are you taking?
I mean, I don't want to take the over, but I just have this feeling that they're going to like steal wins. I just really do. I know that's dumb. Feel like they're going to find a way to
win seven games.
Sort of. Like I know it's crazy and it probably won't happen. But everyone is burying them. It's over under 6. Under is minus 130.
Good Lord. Yeah, I'm going under. Under 6.5. 6 under is tough.
Speaking of unders, Chris Joseph in the chat asked NC State over under 8.5 wins.
I still haven't watched Dennis Leary. Devin. Drew Leary.
I put some damn respect on Devin Leary's name.
Devin. I had the D right. Got the last name correct. Okay.
Freaking junior football analyst, draft analyst. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Devin Leary is really, really good. I would take the over here. I think NC State wins 9 or 10 games.
Sweet Jesus. When's the last time they won 10 games?
It should have been last year, but
Chip on Kelly, planet Earth, when's the last time they won?
Chip 10 Kelly games? Coward was a coward. Acted like his teammate COVID.
I love that you cut yourself off and then finish the joke.
Yeah. What a joke. I'm dead serious.
When's the last time?
Let's see.
Oh, I got to check my trusty computer because
I want to make sure I don't say something stupid.
But if you had a good, you said it when you said over 8.5. If they were a good team, you could say, 2 years ago.
I mean, they've won 9 games.
1984. Thank
three
you.
3 times in the last 5 seasons. 2002, when I was in college, we beat Notre Dame in the Gator Bowl, won 11 games, 11-3.
Oh, you're counting the bowl game victory as a win?
Yeah, that counts.
02.
Finished 12th in the AP poll.
That was Phil Rivers.
Came into the next year ranked 14th before the season. Ranked at the end of the season. Went 8-5. Very, very NC State of us. Yeah. Lost to Wake Forest. Anyway,
Chris, the under is in play at 8.5.
I would not bet the under. I would bet the over.
That's fine.
Davion's won 9 games 3 times in the last 5 years. One of the other ones, he won 8 games.
Speaking of over-unders, Emery Hunt asks, over-under on camp fights when full pads go on Monday. All 32 teams are in session Monday.
33.5.
I think this is, I'm going to go under that number, and this is why. I think that the fights don't start happening until players realize they're going to get cut, and they're frustrated, feel like they have to mix things up, perhaps self-motivate, whatever. Okay. So I'm going to go under 33.5.
Friend of the program, Emery Hunt, of course, our colleague.
I don't know if he likes you, but I think he does
podcast,
like me.
Friend of the podcast. Dennis Leary, how dare you? Let's see. Okay, I got lost. Let's try to pour some more Topo Chico into my... There, thank you.
At 1:42 p.m. on Friday?
It's water. It's mineral water. There's no alcohol in it. Zero calorie. I can't see it. Zero calories.
Look at this weirdo.
Okay. Josh Alvarez asks, who will the Steelers trade for once they see their QBs throw a few passes?
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard.
I want to say the joke's on Josh, but this is pretty funny. I was reading Mark Cabali, longtime Steelers beat reporter who now writes for The Athletic, who after the first day of practice last week noted that Kenny Pickett, after one session, reminded him a lot of early in his career, Mason Rudolph. And I was like, oh, sweet Jesus.
That was not a compliment, right?
No, he wasn't trying to be nasty. He was just saying, this is what it reminds me of after one practice, which means very little. But, you know, you'd prefer to come out like gangbusters and not come out like Mason Rudolph year one. But Mason Rudolph has looked the best in the, I think we're 3 practices in now as we record this podcast, in terms of accuracy. So I think Mason Rudolph ends up being the player who gets drafted. I think Mitchell Trubisky ends up starting the season, and I think Kenny Pickett remains on the bench. I hope I'm wrong about Kenny Pickett. He was my 5th-rated quarterback, I think, in the draft class.
If Trubisky stinks, they just have to go to Kenny Pickett, and then you just have to ride out Kenny Pickett for like 3 years.
Not even. We've seen it happen all the time. It's funny this time of year we see all these quarterbacks moving teams, like Baker going to the Sam Darnold Panthers. 2 players drafted in the top 3 who are now terrible by most accounts in terms of expectations. If Kenny Pickett sucks this year and sucks next year, they're going to draft a quarterback or look for one somewhere else. That's just the reality of it. So you have, you probably have 20 starts. And if after 20 starts, and just in general, not in terms of the Steelers, but generally speaking with these young quarterbacks. Yeah, 20 starts. You have an idea of whether the guy's going to be good or not, and then you go in another direction.
I mean, they haven't been willing to move on from Mason Rudolph. Like, he's gotten
a backup. They just felt comfortable. I mean, they kept Landry Jones forever as a backup, but now that Roethlisberger's retired and, you know, chirping every other day on the radio about how he was mistreated, they have bigger concerns. So, yeah, I think that the Mason Rudolph will ironically be the one who gets traded, even though he's so far early on through camp appeared to be the most consistent, which really isn't a surprise. He's been there the longest.
Mason Rudolph's been the most consistent?
For the first 3 days of practice, yes.
Give me the under on the freaking Steelers win total.
All right. Doubt Mason Rudolph at your own risk.
I will happily.
Said no one ever. All right, go ahead. What's next?
Next up is... Oh, sorry. That was not my fault. Jay John, ask, why am I not putting my life savings on Brady MVP, Brady most passing yards, and Brady most touchdowns? Hashtag fat running back, hashtag terrible NFC.
This is our buddy Johnny, by the way.
Oh, what's up, Johnny? Love Johnny. I would say the reason you're not doing that is because it sounds like Ryan Jensen might be out for the season. And that means that the Buccaneers will be replacing with Ali Marpet retiring. And then they lost somebody. They're basically replacing their entire interior offensive line.
Shaq Mason, they traded for from the Patriots. Yes. Our buddy Stephen O from Sportsline did the math. And if Ryan Jensen's out for a long period of time, I haven't heard anything in terms of the details of you about Ryan Jensen.
They're saying they feel the rumor, the buzz is that they feel very concerned about this. Steven, it could be the season. They're hoping it's just a few months.
Steven O's simulation without Ryan Jensen, the win total goes from 10.1 to 10.4 to 10.1. So,
I mean, that's a massive
third of a game.
Todd Bowles said Ryan Jensen will miss at least a couple of months.
Okay. Well, then it's probably not torn if it's just a couple of months, which could be good news.
I mean, if he's okay, let's see. Rick Stroud, yeah, he will. I mean, a couple of months is a long, long time.
Yeah, but it's not 12 months, which is what an ACL would be. He'd miss the entire season.
Bucs coach Todd Bowles said Ryan Jensen will miss at least a couple of months, and they will see what the damage is to determine whether he can return at all. I mean, look, I understand what you're saying. That is that's a
very nebulous comment. But again, so Tom Brady's played with. We'll see who the center ends up being. Whether they go out and get one, or whether it's Robert Hainsey, their second year player out of Notre Dame. But who else is in the running for MVP? Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers. Where is Tom Brady in terms of the odds?
I was just trying to find it.
I figured that'd be on that's something you would look at every day.
No, I don't. Well, I mean, I don't check. It's difficult to navigate. Hold on one second.
Joe Burrow could be in that conversation, assuming he recovers from his appendix.
All right, so most passing touchdowns, Brady is the favorite at 5-1.
Okay.
Most MVP, which they have all the way down at the bottom. Allen is the favorite, 7-1. Mahomes, 8-1. Brady, 9-1.
Who's next? Who are the next two?
Rodgers, 10. Herbert, 10. Burrow, 13. Right. Russ, 16. Dak, 16. Stafford, 16. Lamar, 20. That's intriguing to me. Kyler, 22. Deshaun, get out of here. Jalen Hurts, 30. That's ridiculous. Derek Carr, 30. Also ridiculous. Derrick Henry, 45. Absurd price. Trey Lance at 50-1 is kind of interesting.
That would be fun. Where's Kenny Pickett on that list?
Oh, he's actually 3-1.
Oh, that makes sense. No, sorry, that's where your life's...
1 billion to 1. Excuse me. I missed the
You missed the B. Yeah. So if you're betting $100, who are you betting? And you only have to spend it on, you only can spend it on one person. You still with Josh Allen?
No, I mean, I do think that Allen is the correct favorite. At 7-1, I'm not putting $100 on that. Like, it's just there's just too many different variables about things that can happen.
And Aaron Rodgers won last year, right?
He won the last 2 years, so it'd be really, really unlikely that Aaron Rodgers would win again.
Right. I'm just thinking that Brady. I don't know. Like, Brady, it just seems like he played really well last year. No doubt about it. The Ryan Jensen thing doesn't concern me as much as it concerns you, but it is clearly a concern. Chris Godwin's coming back from the ACL, so when will he hit 100%? Mike Evans they have. They don't have Gronk.
If I'm going to $100 down, Lamar is the answer, I think, at 20-1.
I might go Justin Herbert. What's Justin's number?
10-1.
Yeah, I think I might go Justin. Although I probably like Lamar a little better.
Lamar's won it before. I mean, those voters don't really want to vote for him. What I would like to do is split between Lamar and Trey Lance.
Oh, that's a good too.
Do like 70-30 or something like that.
So you're telling Johnny not to put his life savings on Brady MVP. What about most touchdowns?
I don't want to bet the favorite on that. I mean, again, like, and the other thing too is like, if the NFC is terrible, and I'm not saying Tom Brady can't win, he definitely can. Like the running game doesn't look like it's gonna be awesome in Tampa.
Leonard Fournette weighs 325 pounds, so he's gonna.
Todd Bowles, I mean, you don't no more Bruce Arians though, so maybe they dial it back a little bit with how they approach the passing game in terms of aggressiveness.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm not doing that, but like I wouldn't be shocking if Brady led the league in passing yards and passing touchdowns, and the voters gave him MVP if the Bucks go 14-3. You know,
you've like, never been one to bet the favorites. The front runners.
Well, there's just not a ton of value. Like if you can get, what I would do is maybe if they're replacing the interior offensive line, let's see what the, if they're replacing the interior of the offensive line and they start out with at the Cowboys, at the Saints and the Packers at home, I would wait until after that stretch. Now look, if they win those three games, Brady will be the prohibitive favorite. If they're 3-0 after those games, cause those are,
it cost you.
Right, but I would wait and see, because if they somehow go 1-2 in those games, which wouldn't be crazy at all.
No, they started slow Brady's first year.
Brady's never beaten the Saints. At the Cowboys, you know, at home, we're going to be good. They hung with them. And then, you know, Packers and Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's just going to be a close game. Like, if they start out slow, you might get a really good price on Brady. So I think that's probably what I would do, is wait and see what happens after that. They then get the Chiefs. Oh, my God, they get the Chiefs in week 4.
That's a tough stretch. Maybe that's why Bruce Arians retired. He saw the schedule.
Then they get Falcons, Steelers, Panthers, Ravens, Rams. My goodness gracious. Seahawks, Browns, Saints, 49ers. This is a really tough schedule.
That's going to be the similar schedule to every other team in that division, which is the good news.
I would, this is just my nature. Like, if, like, so, like, for Johnny's purposes, what I would do is if you put a quarter of your life savings on Brady, if you really want to do this, put a quarter preseason and then put, like, be prepared to dump more as the, like, depending on how those first four games go.
Dump more into or more out of?
Or into.
Okay.
Because, like, if you can get Brady at a really good price, if they start 2-2, which, again, isn't crazy. Like, a team that goes starts out 2-2 with Tom Brady on it, he is not out of the MVP race at all.
No.
Okay, next question. From Dirty Hippie Chris. What camp battles are you keeping a close eye on? For me, it's unclear backfields like the Falcons or Texans.
Steelers quarterback.
Steelers quarterback.
Steelers wide receiver.
Steelers wide receiver. I mean, obviously the Panthers quarterback, I think, is a big one.
We talked about this in the previous divisional podcast, but, like, the defensive line is a huge issue across the league, apparently. So yeah. Pick a team and see who's going to be the defensive lineman. But obviously, Orlando Brown situation in Kansas City, how is that going to sort itself out? It's not really a camp battle. It's a battle between management and employee.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a concern. Lamar Jackson's situation, who he said that he doesn't want to negotiate forever. So that's something to keep an eye on. Trying to think what else.
Yeah, no, it's like
Treylon Burks in Tennessee, something to keep an eye on. He had a rough mini camp in terms of not.
I mean, Geno and Drew Lock is a big one.
Drew Lock. But to Treylon Burks' credit, he's come out and said he's gotten in shape and he's looking forward to the challenge, yada, yada, yada. So hopefully that works out.
From a fantasy perspective, I'm interested in both two AFC East running back situations, like Devin Singletary, James Cook, Zach Moss.
Yep.
And then, like, Mostert, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, Sony Michel. Down in Miami as well. Like, what are the Packers wide receivers situation? How does that shake out? Like, that's a big one.
Yep. So I saw a headline. I don't remember where it was from. It may have been a CBS headline, but AJ Dillon is going to get more of the workload than Aaron Jones is the bold take. I don't think that's been spoken out loud by anyone in the Packers organization, but that's just something to look out for. How does Christian Kirk and Zay Jones do on the big money deals in Jacksonville? That's another thing to keep an eye out on. Who are going to be the wide receivers in Cleveland after Donovan Peoples-Jones? I think Anthony Schwartz came off the field with an injury yesterday. I don't know what the report is on that, or last week if you're listening to this on Monday. Jarvis, where did Jarvis Landry sign? Do you remember?
New Orleans.
Okay.
Yes, I do remember.
Oh, yeah. So there are a ton of. Talking points there. All right. Camp battles.
There was a chat comment, I think. Sorry, not always chats us, and I never see Caleb Campson says, just listening to the AFC West podcast and your concerns about my Chiefs make me sad. Anyway, Jimmy G to Seattle is happening, right? That's my mailbag question.
Only if he gets cut.
Yeah, I think that's right.
The only team that can afford him on a trade is the Browns. The Browns said they're out. Well, not the Browns, but Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com said it looks like. I think she's the one that reported that the Browns weren't interested.
I think that it's Seattle only happens if he's cut. And I think Seattle will probably happen if he's cut. But as we pointed out, like, you know, he could end up going to the it wouldn't be crazy if he went to the Texans, you know, it was Sully who pointed that out, not you.
The Casario link,
you know, compete with Davis Mills. And if you beat, you know, maybe they, I would think that they probably don't want to try to win as quite as much as they may claim, but you know,
they probably do, but Jets and Giants would be interesting. I mean, Joe Flacco, I think, is the primary backup in New York right now with the Jets. Want to have a younger, handsomer version than Jimmy G. Same with the Giants. I mean, you could even start Jimmy G for the Giants if Daniel Jones doesn't click this year.
Yeah.
All right. We're making great time here. You're worried about the time.
Yeah. I got somewhere to go. Last one. Name your from @made4pms contest. Okay. Name your three best song playlists of tracks to put the players in the right mindset at training camp.
That's a great question. I wish I'd given this more thought because I saw it early when Debo sent the email. Then I didn't see it again until just now.
He says, I got Till I Collapse from Eminem. Show Me What You Got, Jay-Z, and Know Your Enemy, Rage Against the Machine. Got to hype them up, but not so much that they kill each other. I'm going to see Rage Against the Machine in concert.
Of course you are.
I love
it. Let's see. I can find some of my playlists. Yikes.
So I'll throw Bulls on Parade in there. I don't know. Does this hype other people? It hypes me up, but like Inner Sandman.
You don't want to just hype up the long snapper. You want to get everyone collectively hyped up.
That's the issue. Right. Like if I wanted to hype myself up, I'd play like Spanish Moon by Little Feet. Like that gets me going. But like
that's what I was going to say.
It's going to land flat as hell.
Your hype list is some 20-minute Fish song that no one's ever heard of.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You know, I'm terrible at remembering lyrics and band names. Breach would be a lot of Britney Spears and some Hootie. I'm going to be incredibly boring. I haven't thought about this. I'll think about it again. But right now, my sort of de facto, and this got me incredibly pumped up when I saw it, when it happened. I wasn't there live, unfortunately, but like the halftime show of the Super Bowl was fantastic. Like that's something that I could get behind.
It was? Oh, it was the Dre Snoop. Yeah. That was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar was there. Was Eminem there? He was there, wasn't he?
Eminem was there.
50 did the push-ups or the pull-ups?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go with that, and I'm going to give this more thought because I let me look. I do have a playlist when I was.
Yeah, like I would throw on like Ramblin' Gamblin' Man by Bob Seger, and people would be like, what is wrong with
you? You're not serious.
I mean, it gets me hyped.
Like Freedom
by George Michael, that gets me hyped. But like,
that, probably, no, it doesn't. There's no way it does.
I love it. I got it on the playlist right now. I'm looking at it.
What's the name of
it? By the White Stripes.
What's the name of the playlist?
It's a private
golf playlist. Hype music. You got your head.
Like, I want to change somebody by Whitney Houston gets me hyped too.
But I'm not putting that on a football. What are you getting hyped for?
I mean, I'm just driving around.
Getting hyped. Shadow box in the hallway before you go do what?
I'm not saying I would use it for that, for those purposes. I'm just saying I like this one.
Like if you need to go out and like play tennis, like you're playing tennis, it's an important match in your old man league.
I would go California Love.
Okay, that's fine.
I mean, it's pretty generic, but like a great like song. Listen,
it has a little.
I'm going to add Bulls on Parade by Rage.
That's a little too much, but okay.
What?
I think you overhype yourself and you show up flat, but that's all right. Go ahead.
You open up with Bulls on Parade and get people hyped, and then you go into California Lovin'.
Okay.
California Love.
That's what I think I call it, California Lovin'. What's the last one?
And then I'm going to go. I'm going to go Enter Sandman by Metallica.
That's your last one? That's the order sort of messed up, isn't it?
Or you could open.
Trying to put people to sleep.
Put people to sleep. Inner Sandman. Have you ever watched did you watch that first?
No. The answer is no. I haven't.
Have you ever seen like Virginia Tech's team come out in like when they for football games?
No.
They're up in Blacksburg and they play Inner Sandman, and it's like, dude. All right, go watch. Go Google Virginia Tech, UNC, Metallica.
I'm not gonna do that.
Dude, it was the first game back from the first college football game back after the COVID season. It's like, I mean, it is absolutely just like frothing in there. Like I got like misty eyed watching it on ESPN. You will get chills.
What about Renegade by Styx?
Actually, you know what? We probably can't play Metallica on here.
No, you can't.
Yeah. They will sue you in a heartbeat. Yeah. Inner Sandman is like,
what about Renegade by Styx? That's a Steelers joke.
I know it is.
All right.
I'm gonna put this one in Slack so you can watch it
at my leisure. Thank you. I look forward to that.
It's not long.
Okay. God almighty.
Oh my God, you acted like Inner Sandman. You like put people to sleep with Inner Sandman. Like, have you ever listened to Inner Sandman? Entertainment is a
sea of white people dancing to Metallica is what I'm seeing.
that is what you're seeing. You will probably have a better listing of songs. So what would you, if you thought of this, what would you go with? And or can you set Ryan straight on Enter Sandman, please?
Exactly. That's okay. Exactly.
I was pulling a Devo. He's on a call. Keaton Croxton in the chat is throwing out some Zeppelin. Zeppelin would work.
Which one?
He threw out Immigrant Song.
I have to hear. I can't. How's that go? You remember that?
It's the one that they play on Thor.
What are you doing? Listen to something else?
No.
Can you hear? Oh, were there other recommendations in the chat? I don't have it in front of me.
No. Immigrant Song is the one where he's like, "We come for the land of the ice and
stuff." Oh, gotcha. Yeah,
that's a good one.
Any AC/DC? Any Black Sabbath?
I thought about putting Thunderstruck on there.
Oh, that's one everyone knows. Everyone knows that one.
Thunderstruck, yeah. Thunderstruck gets hyped.
Quickly, let me see. Best hype songs ever. Remember there used to be that DVD commercial, like the best, not hype music.
Stadium music?
Yeah, exactly.
Gary Glitter?
That song, yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay, here we go. I'm glad I Googled this. All right, how about this? You tell me thumbs up or thumbs down. This is awesome.
By the way, best hype songs, what is the, or did you
I'm reading it.
What is the third one down?
Yeah, we're looking at the same list. Okay, so I actually own this 45 in 1982, Eye of the Tiger. You're not doing either.
I don't think it's landing with the...
No, Eye of the Tiger's not.
...that you're looking for.
But. Lose Yourself, I think it makes the cut.
Sure, that's fine.
Your Thunderstruck is there if you're going sideways, so that's good in terms of third. I don't think I'm doing any Macklemore and or Ryan Lewis. I'll pass on that. I'm not doing any Queen. John,
turn down for what's good.
Yeah, a Queen is not my thing, but I know it gets some people hyped up. That's fine. Hall of Fame, the script. I don't even know what that is. You know what that is?
I don't.
Jump Around. that's right out of college, which is funny. Party Up, DMX. Drake Started from the Bottle. I don't know that. I have to hear it. I don't know the like name of songs. Black and Yellow. You got to do that if you're a Steelers fan. Wiz Khalifa.
I love that you're like making fun of me.
I know, right? Yeah. Avicii. I don't know what is Avicii. Wake Me Up. Did I say that right?
I don't. I don't know. Why are you asking
DJ Khaled? I like that. All You Do Is Win. Portugal, Feel It Still. I don't even know what that is. Crazy Train with Ozzy Osbourne. That could be one. All right.
Crazy Train with Ozzy Osbourne?
That's on the list, which I thought was
funny. I mean, I get that, but like, I don't think that's...
Well, it depends on when you made your...
It depends on who you're
putting. Right, exactly. Yeah. If this is an old-timers game, then you probably put that on there. If it's a bunch of young folks, Gen Y or whatever we're on now, Gen Z, then no. All right, that's it.
All right, good show. Fun show. We're done. So thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.